Lowe's. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
Oh, happy Monday, everyone. Whoa. Hey, the whole gang's here. How you going, Kath?
I'm awake.
You're awake? That's good. Stephen, you seem awake as well. How was so everyone's weekend?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything exciting that you, of note, or you've got things to talk about later in the show?
Well, I went to Maitland Brickfest, as advertised.
Yeah.
Got into that, watched the cricket, played some Fortnite, played some dog, went for a walk.
Oh, my God. Busy as.
Ticked all the boxes.
Stephen, how was yours?
Yeah, good. Not as busy. Saturday, I went to the races. Sunday, felt sorry for myself all day. Today, slightly better, which
is good. Nice one. On Sunday, I sampled some of the food from the farmers markets in town.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, the Tibetan dumplings were on point. Just a high, high recommendation. If you're in the area, give them a go. Well,
there you go. It sounds like everyone had a great weekend. Which, you know, it just builds into what is your favourite day of the week, Crevo?
Monday.
Into a big week.
Let's go. We've got all the possibilities ahead. Good morning, Jess. How are you? Jess is gone.
I'm here. Yeah, sorry, I didn't have it on.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah. How is your morning? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was busy. I'm so tired.
Are you now? And what about your little doggo? Because I always wonder, you know, I always think, what's Alfie up to?
Oh, he's good. You know, same.
Chilling out.
Yeah.
Were you like on a hot air balloon on Saturday, Jess?
Yeah, I went on a hot air balloon.
Just casual.
Did I also see on your socials you were up in a helicopter?
Yes, that was a while ago, but yes, I did do that.
Two types of different air transport.
And the air show was on. That was so good on Saturday.
Well, were you scared in the hot air balloon with all the, like, the planes flying
zipping
around
past
and stuff? It would have been a busy airspace.
Very different times of day.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, good to know.
One sparrow's fart, one wasn't.
And they're technical terms for all you people that don't know about the air stuff, which is excellent. It's going to be a great day and a great show, everyone. Happy Monday.
UFM. The Novos. And this is New FM at breakfast.
The Novos. All right, so Saturday afternoon, went for a cheeky beer at Queen's Wharf.
Sure.
And there's something I've noticed at Queen's Wharf that, and this is going to sound like old man rhetoric here, but when they have live music on, the volume is like 12. It's actually louder than a nightclub.
Oh, try more.
No, I dare you to go there Saturday about 5 o'clock and try and have a conversation.
Yeah, because
impossible.
That's when party time starts.
No, we went to customs after for the second beer, right? And
was it too loud that you had to leave after one beer?
Yeah, it was literally like that. Like, can't even talk. Like, we went right out, you know where the benches are on the water?
Yeah.
Still can't hear anything. Like, I don't know how good, what speakers they got, but they should be like an ambassador for, I don't know, Drum and Bass Week or something, because they're the loudest things I've ever heard.
They've got more than one speaker. In fact, they've got speakers out the back there. You're probably right under one.
Maybe, I don't know. We went to customs. They had a similar, like, you know, one man and a guitar jangling away, and it was absolutely fine. Like that, like it was good volume. Anyway, I've been there before. It's the same issue.
It sounds like an old man problem.
You are right. It is old man rhetoric.
I told you, get off my lawn
type gear. Outrageous.
Yeah, indeed. But it was good. It was such a good day for that, wasn't it?
It was a pearler on Saturday.
Like, I said to our friend, beer near water, this is the perfect weather for it. And it was just so awesome.
Any excuse, hey? Mm-hmm. Get a bit of sunshine like that. Off the Queen's Wharf.
Exactly. You're waking up with the Novos here at New FM.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5 with Jess.
And Jess, last minute heartbreak spoils the Emily Van Egmond return for our Jets.
It did. But still, how good was it that Emily Van Egmond was out there? I don't think it dampened anyone's spirits at all that we lost 2-1 to Melbourne City, even though a win would have been much better. We were ahead, but unfortunately, in extra time, the extra goal went to Melbourne City. But Emily Van Egmond, she scored the first one for us in the 12th minute. So we'll see her for another 3 games, part of her 4-game stint. Which would be nice if she was here the whole time, but anyway.
So then she got like pre-season again in the States or something like that. Is that what's going on?
I think so, because San Diego Wave wrapped up a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. So, but maybe she's got like pre-season commitments or something like that. I don't know. Who knows?
And money wins out in the end.
And you know
it?
What? It was exciting seeing Emily Van Engelen play as well. But I mean, it was star-studded at number 2 sports ground on the weekend. Holly McNamara scored the winner.
Yeah,
she is phenomenal. Like a star of the future. Remember the name now. She's like 20.
Right.
She won Player of the Month last month. She's honestly going to be one of the best players in the world. I think
that's a statement.
Can we recruit her to the Jets?
I wish. Look, I'll be trying my best. I'll put on my recruitment hat and I'll see if I can get her over.
That's a Stephen guarantee right there, and
from
I like
one
it.
One Jets to another Jets, Jess. The Williamtown Air Show is being hailed as a massive success.
Yeah, massive, massive success. Yesterday, they reckon they got the 20,000 people they predicted were going to be out at Williamtown RAF Base for the open day. So many things out there to see. There were military dogs. They had all of the planes that flew on Saturday out at Nobby's Beach were out for everyone to have a close look at yesterday at the RAF base. I went on Saturday into Nobby's Beach and it was packed. Like, people were lining the foreshore. Nobby's Beach was just a sea of people, like, all along, which was really good to see, and everyone loved it. Like, Matt Hall was amazing. He started the afternoon portion of the air show, and he is phenomenal. But it was so cool to see, like, a lot of the older planes, but as well as, like, the F-35s jetting past as well. It was such a great air show. It was so good.
There you go. Did you have your little plane spotters app out, Jess? Like, seeing which ones? Nah, just look with your eyes.
Yeah, they're right there. Like, you could literally touch them. They're right there.
There you go. That's an easier way. Very good. Well, hopefully, like, it continues to build year on year because it seems to be getting bigger and bigger, right?
Exactly.
Fantastic stuff and great for Newcastle.
It was a big weekend, and I know we're all still in a bit of recovery mode, and the best entertainment for sure was Up in the Sky. Williamtown Air Show was great.
Yeah.
But even better was watching Elon Musk go boom.
Right, okay, elaborate. Because we do love Elon.
We do. We've got a special place in our hearts for Elon. So he did the second test flight of the SpaceX Starship. So this is his own little rocket that he's trying to take to outer space.
Right.
And is in competition with other billionaires for a rocket to take to outer space. So they launch, off it goes, achieves, you know, separation, and the crowd is cheering, and then this.
And as you can see, the Super Heavy booster has just experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly.
A rapid, unscheduled disassembly.
Which God. Is code for...
It went boom.
Exploded. It's everywhere.
It's so funny because even in that little bit of audio there, you can hear how the cheers turn to jeers so quickly, right? Like, everyone's like, wow, this is so great. Oh, I'm not sure if that was part of the plan.
But it's a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. Like, what? This is a beautiful phrase. This is going straight to my personal pool room.
Yeah.
It's just, like, you know, like, it's a bit like Kevin Rudd's programming specificity, right? It's going to be one of those phrases that for the rest of time is associated with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And you could really say this about everything that Elon Musk does. Certainly Twitter experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly.
Yeah, he's in trouble, isn't he?
He certainly is. Do you think he told the news people, if this thing blows up, you have to say this instead of blew up?
I am almost entirely sure that there was a memo to that effect because the SpaceX Twitter channel said exactly the same thing at exactly the same time.
They were ready.
Like, they knew this thing was going to blow up.
How little faith do you have in your spaceship? If this is what you're planning for, don't launch it.
Yeah, double check, like, re-screw in the bolts and stuff, you know? Like, surely do a little few double checks if that's what you mean.
The interesting bit, too, is not only did all of the channels that come out of SpaceX say rapid unscheduled disassembly, is that they immediately rolled out this line of scientists that said it was really good because it got up in the air.
Oh, come on. It's really good when it goes all the way. That's what I say. He's got some work to do, and it shouldn't be in the PR department. He should be focusing on fixing his rockets.
1, 2, 3. On new FM. This is the Novo's Three of a Kind.
All right, Not So Silent Night is back. Woo-hoo! I mean, this is a massive event every year. Hunter Valley Gardens, they do their Christmas lights spectacular. If you haven't been out there before, you need to get there. It's so flashy, and we always do, like, every year, a bit of a party to celebrate the festive season, I suppose. So we get people down there, you get, like, a family pass, a bit of dinner. I've called in a favour as well.
Yeah.
The big man will be there.
This is so good.
A Pleady schedule. Santa will be making a visit.
This is brilliant.
You want to get yourself there, like free, I guess free night, plus, you know, free entertainment, free dinner.
And the all-important entry into the Hunter Valley Gardens Christmas lights. This is the big part. It's a fantastic evening.
This is what you want. So to celebrate the return of Not So Silent Night, we're bringing back three of a kind. 4967-4105 is a magic number to call. If you have forgotten, let's jog your memory on how this game works. Sure. Basically, I give you three words. They have a common theme or, like, I guess, linking word that joins them. If you can pick it quicker than your opponent, you win yourself some goodies. So it's first two, best of three.
Did we get to do a practice play?
Let's do a practice play, hey, amongst the team. So your name is your buzzer. And let's say I went Fruit Loops, Nutri-Grain, Cocoa Pops.
Kath,
way quicker there. Cravo, you're snoozing still.
Breakfast cereals.
Breakfast cereals would be... correct.
You'd have yourself a point on the board right there.
It is so simple.
All right, if you want these tickets to this Money Can't Buy experience...
We'll go first to Broadmeadow. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Kath and the boys. How are you?
Kath and the boys.
This is what I like. I like that order, Michael. You're already in my good book.
Well, we are going well, mate. Hope you had a great weekend. Did you get up too much?
Yeah, I went into town, had a look at the fighter jets and things, so that was pretty cool,
right? Yeah, lovely. It would have been absolutely spectacular. Well, up against you this morning, Michael, in Newcastle is Lisa. How was your weekend?
Really relaxing, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, mine was busy, not so relaxing, but good. I enjoyed it nonetheless. Now, let's get into this game. So we've got two contestants, that's been established. Let's establish the rules. So it's first to two, best of three is the scoring system. Your name is your buzzer, guys. So, Michael, can you test your buzzer for us?
Michael.
Lovely. Lisa, you go.
Lisa.
Oh, easy as. Yeah. All right.
It's all working.
Let's get into this. Best of luck to both our contestants this morning. The first group I've got for you is Timex, Rolex, Citizen.
Lisa.
Michael.
Lisa was quickest there.
Watches.
Watches is correct. One on the board to Lisa.
Up and running.
All right. Next one I've got for the two of you is Siamese, Burmese, Persian.
Michael. Lisa.
Michael. Yeah, rapid.
Breed the cat.
Cat is correct.
Broadmeadow represent.
Which means, Crevo, we are going to a tiebreaker.
Sudden death, 80.
All right. Some inspirational words from Michael as we head into our tiebreaker. This is for all the chockies. You pass to New FM's Not So Silent Night. I've got Jasmine, Basmati,
Michael,
Aboya. Yeah. Oh, Michael was so quick there.
What was that?
Rice
is correct.
He's done it.
No, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael. And thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, oh, good game. You know what? Such a, like, a lovely winner as well. No lording it over everyone so like polite. I would be. Now, Lisa, as our run-up, can we get you back tomorrow for another crack?
Yeah, why not?
Yes!
Awesome.
I love that. Winning on winning, which is what we're all about. And only local winners, too, here at New FM.
Look, something has happened that, depending on your perspective, is either going to be really great news, really bad news, but for me, it's got to be a joke, right?
Right, okay.
What's happening?
So, the most deluded man in Australian politics, Scott Morrison, the guy that appointed himself to five different ministries during the COVID lockdowns because, you know, he thought it would be fine if he just didn't tell anyone and gave himself all the power.
Sounds like a good plan.
has started his comeback tour. He thinks he can get back to the lodge.
Wait on.
So, what, is he making another crack at the...
Prime ministership.
Prime ministership.
Believe it or not, he managed to convince the Liberal Party that he didn't need to be pre-selected, right? Because he gave them this kind of song and dance that he was going to retire before the next election. So you don't need to worry about that pre-selection, which means that he's not being contested by his own party, right? Because everybody thought he wouldn't get through pre-selection if he stood again. That would be it. He would be done.
Yeah.
So he managed to wriggle through that one. And then he appears over in Israel with his mate Boris Johnson on that little tour and everybody's like, what in earth?
I saw that. That was so weird, wasn't it?
Looked like two buffoons, didn't they?
So that was the opening salvo, And then during the last couple of weeks that Parliament has been sitting, he's been talking about all kinds of things. Aircraft noise in Sydney and buildings and proposals and infrastructure. And suddenly this guy that has done nothing but sulk on the backbench for 18 months has an opinion on everything.
Interesting.
And then there's a three-part documentary from Sky News talking about the Liberal Party years of power and redefining history. He getting to retell the story in his own words rather than what actually happened. And then Andrew Bolt comes out on the weekend with a little op-ed and a bit on air about how the front bench of the Liberal Party needs to be reshuffled and Scott Morrison needs to be returned to the front bench.
All I'll say is I don't know why, but he always reminds me of that person who, straight after a work lunch, is there talking really loud and spitting bits of food. It's just something about him.
Spittle just at the corner of the mouth.
Always like that.
We're laughing and joking about this, but I'm actually not that, like, involved in the political world.
Neither am I.
I'm not really that... I don't really know that much about it. Is this something that could seriously happen?
Yeah, this is something that...
So is he actually a chance of regaining the prime ministership?
Well, I think if he actually came back to the leadership of the Liberal Party, to borrow my new favourite phrase, the Liberal Party would experience a rapid, unscheduled disassembling. Because there's only about 30 guys left in the Liberal Party because of what happened in the last election, right?
Right.
They don't have enough people. And that's always been the problem for the Liberal Party. It's like, well, you know, we've got to have Dutton as our leader because nobody's better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, when you're at Peter Dutton level, you're already at the bottom of the barrel. Well, so why not go back to Morrison is kind of the argument now. So it's a bit like that era... for those Labor Party people who remember the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd years, right? And when Gillard was on the nose, it was like, can we really go back to Rudd? You know, is that really like a viable option? Everybody's like, well, there's Wayne Swan. Oh, no, can't go there. So they went back to Rudd. It's basically the same thing, but they're doing this can we go back to Morrison thing. They'll reset themselves. It'll just take a little bit longer, but this is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
There we go.
Go to a poop and another Maccas. That's the last I want to hear from you.
The Novos. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
Boys, you'll remember last week we were talking about the Wanji Power Station and what should happen to it because it's been left to go to a bit of rack and ruin.
Sure.
Reading over the weekend that much the same debate is happening around the old Maitland Hospital. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later on.
Sure.
But one of the places that I had a conversation about this, believe it or not, was at the Maitland Brickfest.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And basically, this was that logo show that I was talking about all last week. If you go to my Insta, you can actually see a whole bunch of photos.
Did you put stuff up from it?
Yeah, I have to do some homework. Because basically what happened was there was an entire school hall and it was full, absolutely full of people and their Lego, huge, big, you know, Eiffel Towers and spaceships and
Titanics.
Geeking
out big time.
Yeah.
Lego madness.
I was a little bit worried because it was a fan event. But basically, when I went in there, it was chockers, absolutely chockers with people. Great event, great community event, little local thing put on with, you know, very little cost. Love it. Got to be more of it.
Well, there you go. That does sound very exciting. Up next, not so exciting news, some sad news, because one of our favourite beverages, I suppose, has gone, as Elon Musk would say, through a rapid, unscheduled rebranding.
Oh, no.
Changing their name. They've been forced to reveal the drink and what's happening up next here on UFM. I want to bring in Scott Chippy from Pell into the fold, our favourite producer, because some sad news, Hard Solo is being forced to change its name.
Mm.
Now, Scott, this is a story you brought to us, and you're a man who loves his, like, Bilsons, he loves his cruises. I imagine you're a Hard Solo enthusiast.
Very much so. When Hard Solo hit the market, well, I should say, drink responsibly, of course.
But yeah, of course.
When Hard Solo hit the market, was very, very excited to try this. And it's a great little drink. It is fantastic. Now, the whole thing's come about because the alcohol beverages advertising code has said of the strong appeal of Hard Solo that it's not marketed to children and minors, but minors would be wanting to try it because of its likeness to Solo, the normal soft drink that you can pick up at the supermarket. It's a whole thing.
Basically they've said that it's not encouraging them to drink it per se, but it's making the transition easier from soft drink to alcohol is what they're claiming. Anyway, yeah, like you said, it's come after the industry body has found the product breached the industry code by appealing to minors, which is this loose term. The similarity in design has sparked complaints online, and then basically the jury of the people have made them change their name.
What's the difference, though, between that and a watermelon cruiser? Like, that's what... It just doesn't... it feels like double standards is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I guess people are uncomfortable with it, so it's an easy thing for them to change their name. So if you're going to be looking for it, because it is on tap at like various venues. I've seen it at Queen's Wharf, where you were on the weekend. I think you've seen it knocking about as well, Scott, in certain venues.
SJ's in Hamilton, they've got it on tap. All of that has to be changed. Yeah, it's going to be a big overhaul.
Does it taste like Solo?
Yes.
So, it's exactly like Solo, but it's just going to kick.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's a good one. Like, again, my personal alcoholic preferences, you'd be able to drink it. You'd be able to have a couple of them.
Right.
But they're like, it's not one that's like a one and done. It's not super sweet. It's just a nice drink to have. So the rebrand that is taking place is they're changing it to hard rated.
Correct.
So they're not changing the product, but they are changing the name because of the appeal to children, as the standards put it.
Okay, so my big question is here, what child drinks Solo?
Oh.
Solo was my favourite soft drink growing up.
See,
really?
Yeah, me too.
Well, see, since the change of Lift, which is done by Coca-Cola Amatil, to Sprite Plus or whatever it's called, the lemon soft drink market has just taken a nosedive. So Solo has seen a resurgence, because if you want that lemon, like pub squash kind of flavour, Solo's really your only choice. Like the Sprite version, no disrespect to Coca-Cola, but... It misses the mark. It's not there.
However, still get pub squash.
That's another option, also owned by Coke.
Yeah.
they know what they're doing there. Don't you worry about that.
Coke?
Yeah, they bought all those Kirks.
That's just...
Of course they did.
That's not cool.
So, for those panicking, like we said, it is called hard rated. Customers have been assured that while the name would change, the drink itself is staying the same. Any products that are hard Solo branding must exit the supply by February 9th. Now, for like a young entrepreneur, you're in like the retro kind of vintage market, Crevo.
Yeah.
If you buy one now, how long will it take before it gains value, hard Solo?
The drink itself, not really. What you want to get is one of the tap heads from a pub. So if you know like a publican or someone connected to it, that's where your money is in the long term.
There you go.
Top tip for making cash. That's what I'm all about here at UFM. Last week, for Would I Lie to You, I brought in this magazine from 1937. It's like a sort of, it's called Practical Mechanics. So it's sort of for people that want to do up cars and stuff like that.
Sure.
Anyway, on the back page, it sort of caught my eye. There's this guy on there called Charles Atlas, he's just down to his tidy whities, and he's a very ripped individual.
He's in good shape.
He's in really good shape. And what sort of caught my eyes, he's selling this book, which I guess is like the early version of, you know, like the sort of Ab Burnmaster Pro that you see on TV. You know, get yourself abs in 3 to 6 weeks with this machine that tucks under your bed that you'll never use again.
So it's like gym equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But he's got, just shows that in nearly whatever it is, 87 years or whatever since this magazine's out, nothing's changed. People are still the same, insecure about their body. Listen to some of this, I guess, advertising. I know what it means to have the kind of body that men laugh at and women scorn. Of course you wouldn't want to look at me now, but I was once a skinny weakling who weighed only 7 stones.
Right, okay.
I'll prove in 7 days you can have a prize-winning body like mine. I don't think you can in 7 days. Outrageous,
that's a
right?
Big turnaround.
I know, right? And listen to this sort of like advertising jargon. It feels the same as what you see on like the telly, right? Just give me 7 days. What's more, I guarantee to show you astonishing results that you can see and feel within your body in just 7 days. I'll have you build with bulging new muscle pushing up through your chest. I mean, outrageous, isn't it? They reckon they can do that in a week. I mean, do you see these things on telly now, right? And you think, ridiculous, right?
Because
we've been, like, trained to realise it's all fake.
And current law wouldn't allow them to use the word guarantee either.
I wouldn't think so, right? But they didn't have any issues back then. Anyway, you send in for this free book. Once again, the same sort of thing. Like, they always have the free DVDs.
And that helps you on your workout journey.
That's right. And then they sell you all the equipment along the way. Nothing has changed in nearly 100 years, has it? They're still, like, preying on people's, I guess, insecurities about their body.
I guess, though, it's a testament that you see ads like that still today, that I guess they...
It obviously works.
Quite an effective way of advertising. They must be, right? Otherwise, they would have died out and evolved with the time long ago.
Back in 1937. Yeah. But obviously, people are like, you know what? I do want to transform my body in 7 days. In fact, I think I'm going to send off for this book. It looks like a good one.
Here's a little hint for you. If it sounds too good to be true,
it is.
It almost certainly is.
Ah, you've crushed my dreams, Stephen.
UFM. The Novos. And this is UFM at breakfast. At breakfast.
Now, being Saturday, I was working. I didn't get the chance to, like, go to the air show. But what was cool was so many people from out of town just, like, coming into the shop having a chat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were people from up near Foster, as far as that, or, like, the Barrington Tops as well. And
right.
Heaps of out of towners just checking out Newcastle. It was everything to show off what we had here and turned it on, right, for the weather. It was absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Did you swindle the tourists?
No, of course not. I gave them a great deal. Plus 20%
boom.
To anyone from out of town. That's my usual. It's like a reverse discount. It's 20% on top. That's the way to do it.
That's the way you got to do it. Exactly. Swindle those out of towners.
Locals get the good deal. Only local winners. That's my motto in life.
So, as I mentioned earlier, I had a few conversations over the weekend about the old Maitland Hospital and what's going to happen to it. So there's general kind of consensus that state governments suck at this, right? They open up new facilities, they don't plan for what's going to happen with the old one, and then it takes a couple of years. And in that couple of years of the building not being used, it becomes run down, decays, and then has to be demolished.
Of course.
And some of the buildings from the Maitland Hospital are really old, right? We're talking 1840 old.
That is heritage old.
Listed.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, but so is a lot of other things. And what happens is if you don't maintain them, even if they're heritage listed,
falls
they get
over.
To a point where they become a safety risk, and the safety risk trumps the heritage value.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
So they can knock it down if it's unsafe.
If it's unsafe.
Right.
Yeah. So there's still a couple of mental health services that are still in the building at the moment, right? They're waiting for a new facility to be built at the new Metford site. So that's still a little bit of use going on. But even council has written to the state government to go, what are you doing with this, guys? It's been 2 years.
Come on, do something. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of debate around what it could be used for. And the reason why it came up at Brickfest is they were talking about perhaps it could be like a community facility.
For Lego.
For a bigger Lego event than could fit in the Maitland High School gym.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Jess, have people been talking to you about this out in Maitland?
Oh, yeah. The Maitland Hospital is something we all know is there, and it's gone over to the new one, and it's just sitting there. Like, the fence is still up around it.
And it looks ugly.
Oh, it looks terrible. Yeah. It looks awful.
Yeah.
So what do you think it should be used for, Kath? Have you got any ideas in mind?
Look, I'm always a fan of community facilities, you know, kind of for, you know, to have more events and festivals.
Mm.
Got to have more festivals.
a festival planning hub. There we go. The ultimate. It creates more festivals.
But given that Maitland is growing at the rate that it is growing, I think it actually should be retained as a health facility.
Bring it back to its old days. Is it not a bit sort of worn out or whatever for that sort
it
of thing?
It needs to be refurbed, sure. But things like mental health facilities, for example, you know, community health, so your physio, your chiro, those kinds of things, those extra services, nutritionists and dietitians and those kinds of people that really just need a room, right? They don't need, you know, specialist facilities, maybe a table if you're a chiro or physio, but you don't need, you know,
all the technology
theater,
bits and bobs,
for example.
Yeah.
You don't need, you know, those big fancy things that they have at hospital. You just need space. I think it should be retained for that. But I'm open to all of the suggestions. I just think, and I agree with, you know, most of the community seems to be saying the same thing. They just don't want it to be get to the point
run
that
down.
It gets demolished.
Yeah, anything really.
What about you, Jess? What do you reckon?
I agree with you. Like, there are so many specialists and health professionals that, you know, even living in Maitland, I still have to drive down to Belmont or into Newcastle to go and see. I agree it should be retained as a health facility. Like, it's set up to be one. Yes, it needs a refresh, and yes, a lot of it needs to be, you know, updated and potentially, you know, completely gutted and redone, but I think it should definitely be a health facility.
Yeah.
There's a need for it.
All right, we'll stay on this one.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking more like big pub or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you guys...
There's a pub across
you
the
You guys
road.
Need a return and earn, don't you?
Yeah,
there you go.
Imagine,
property
Maitland
Hospital.
Hey, look, they could put the return in the car park at the old Maitland Hospital.
There we
that
go.
Would be fine.
We're just creating solutions. I think it could also be like the home of football, like soccer.
A home of football.
We need a home of football. They've already got like medical facilities there for, you know, for the Jets. They could have like a physio there. Yeah, they could have like a gymnasium in there. Just need to find somewhere to actually play the games. Now, that's a little thing in the works, but...
Would the roof be big enough for a stadium?
Oh, I don't know if you could actually play in there.
You probably couldn't build it on... Nah.
You couldn't? Oh, Kath says no.
Field behind it.
There you go. Yeah. Bang it up.
Cybersecurity is at the forefront of Australia's mind at the moment. I mean, you talked about Crevo maybe like a week or 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
About those hacks at DP World, which were the ports, which created, you know, the affecting delays in the supply chain, sorry. And there was the Optus data breach, I don't know, a year ago or whatever that was as well, not too long ago. Mm. So and it's not, they're just two examples, right?
Sure.
This is a broader problem. The annual cyber threat report announced that a 23% year-on-year increase in cybercrimes in Australia, which is amounting to a cybercrime reported every 6 minutes. But they reckon there's more that happened than those that are reported.
Sure.
There's a bit of, like, I guess, like, embarrassment surrounding it. Yeah, still like a stigma around getting fooled by these cyber threats. But I reckon, one is reported every 6 minutes. And part of this is due to insecure passwords. So a list of the most common passwords for 2023 has been released, as well as how long they take to be cracked.
Right.
How long it takes you to be hacked with said passwords.
Now, I know you're a bandit for not using difficult passwords, Stephen.
Nah, my motto always is, if it's too hard, then I won't remember it. Like, other people won't be able to get into it, but neither will I. So I just take that risk. So the most common password in Australia for 2023 was banned. B-A-N-N-E-D, capital B. Now, this password, the most common in Australia, takes 2 minutes to crack.
That's not
two
long.
Minutes. But if you think that's not long, it only goes down from here.
Right.
Unbelievable. So the second most common password was 123456, all in digits. It takes less than a second to crack, obviously.
Less than a second.
Admin with a capital A was third, also less than a second. Password was fourth. And number five was 1234. Obviously, both those are less than a second to crack as well.
Less than a second.
How can it be less than a second? That's so rapid.
Wow. All of your money, say, in your like online banking, less than a second.
Well, so they're the top five there, and they've released the top 20, but a couple more that kind of grabbed my attention.
Right.
Number 12 on the list, right, is 1234567899. They've gone, I'll get him this time. I'll add a few extra digits. Unfortunately, still less than a second to crack. Well, my favourite one on the list is number 17, the most 17th most common password in Australia, is password one with capital P. They've gone, this will get him.
This will get him. I'll add a digit on it.
Stephen, isn't that your password?
Well, for some things it is. there's a reason why it's number 17. It's all my accounts. Account for
Gmail.
The list. Yeah, I love how they've gone, I'll throw in an extra capital letter, one extra symbol. This will do him. Still less than a second, unfortunately.
Well, you know, in the past, they used to just be password, but then their hands been forced to do one capital and one symbol. That's why they've done that.
Well, password capital P, one exclamation mark. Yep,
yeah, that's the new one. That'll be number 20, I guarantee you.
Always me. I'm not important enough to hack. Anyway, NordPass, who are the company that have put together this
list,
have recommended that internet users choose a password that is at least 20 characters long, with a mix of uppercase and lowercase letters, numbers and symbols. Once that lengthy chain has been thought up, it should never be used as password for any other site, so that, you know, if you get hacked once, it doesn't lead to everything else.
Cross-contamination.
And you should avoid using easily guessed information like birthdays, names, common words, etc. 20 letters, though. I'm not remembering that.
It's really hard.
I was counting on my fingers before, and you were making fun of me. But my full name, Stephen Thomas Jones, 17 characters.
Not enough.
How am I going to make up the other three characters? That's outrageous.
Stephen Thomas Jones, 1, 2, 3. There we go, sorted.
I am now safe.
Safe as houses.
New FM is local as, and you're waking up.
You're waking up with the Novos.
New FM.
Undoubtedly a massive weekend for Newcastle. I mean, we had the air show, Williamtown Air Show, which was, you know, seemed to be a spectacle. Kath, you got out to the Maitland Brick Fest, which was nice. On Saturday, I went to the Hunter, which was the races at Newcastle Racecourse. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of their big day. So they had their $1 million race.
Yep.
I always love the races because it's such like a microcosm of society as a whole.
It's so true.
There's people who love to dress up and are fancy and have their, you know, Chardonnay. And then there's people who have clearly gone to the bottom of their, you know, clothes pile to find a button-up shirt. Yeah, you know?
Still wrinkled because they haven't, you know, I need a smart shirt. Mine,
mate. Yeah, can I get away with this? Yeah, look, technically you can. Perfect, done, in. But I enjoyed it. I had a really nice day. The weather really turned up for it. It was good to see everyone getting in the spirit of the event, if you will.
Nice, nice. Well, it sounds like a brilliant day. Any winnings for you?
I probably broke even, I think.
Oh, well, beers on you.
Oh, doubtful. I don't think so. At all.
Now, it's getting towards that time where people start putting up the Chrissy decorations.
Yes.
And I went to the cupboard, and the cupboard was bare. Not quite bare. So I broke up with my ex at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Christmas decorations, but he got the tree.
Oh, no. What a disaster.
I know,
surely,
right?
Surely you could have just arranged for someone to get both. One's not good without the other. Surely.
Anyway, so I'm thinking, all right, I got to go get a new tree.
Yeah.
But the plastic tree that I had was a really good one. It was one of those ones where you couldn't see all the metal and stuff inside, right? It actually looked like a tree, like a fancy tree. And I had it for a long time. And I had a quick look around and I couldn't really see one that was even close, right? There's probably, somebody's going to say it'll be at Aldi next week or something. But
probably will.
So I thought maybe I should get a real tree, right? Because when we were kids growing up, we always had real pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, this was like one of those things that should be easily resolved, but it wasn't because everybody I spoke to, right, I'd go and talk to someone, I'm like, you know, where can I get a real tree from? And they're like, why do you want a real tree? You should have a plastic tree. You know, keep it for years and years. It's better for the environment, yada, yada. And then I'd go talk to somebody else and they'd be like, no, you don't want a plastic tree. Get a real tree. It's better for the environment.
Yeah. That's definitely it. No one knows.
The truth is neither are really good for the environment. That's the inconvenient truth.
You should really just get your decorations and just like put them on yourself and stand in the corner.
Bah humbug. Bah humbug.
Anyway, so I thought we'd ask Newcastle.
Firstly, I'm a real tree guy. I reckon it's better.
Are you?
Yeah. Smells good. You know, when you come in the door, you get that pine tree smell in the air.
But it's messy.
Ah, a couple of needles. You just get your little, you know, dustpan and brush all across the floor and you're good as gold.
What about you, Stephen?
I think this smell argument's redundant. Surely you go into your nearest servo, your 7-Eleven, and get one of those little pine air fresheners. Put that around your house.
Not really the same. That's ridiculous.
I am a plastic tree enthusiast. Not so much about, you know, like the environmental impact, but rather I'm just lazy. And it comes in a little box, easy to take home, and then stores in a little box, and you don't have to go and worry about finding a tree every year.
A little box.
Oh, yeah. Well, normally
so you're talking about a foot-high Christmas tree, one that's, you know, like only about a metre high.
Nah. They normally fold down pretty good, and, you know, they comes in, like, thirds
all the
or
bits
whatever.
Come off. Yeah.
So they fold down pretty small normally.
Okay.
Now, plastic trees are absolutely no good. They don't look good. They don't look the same. They don't smell
the same.
Do you
not think it's a hassle every year to go pick out a tree and get it home and stuff?
The only rule I have about a tree is that it has to touch the roof. That's it.
Really?
That's my only rule, right?
There's halves.
I can't figure out whether or not I should get plastic or, you know, and it would then have to go and search for a decent one or get a real one.
Get a real tree, Kath. Come over to the good side. That's what I'm saying.
Are you always getting out the dustpan and broom?
Doesn't bother me.
Cleaning it all up?
It's all part of this Christmas spirit, Steve. Have a bit of spirit, would ya?
Oh, says Mr. Hang it on yourself. Hang the baubles on yourself. Outrageous.
4967-4105. Give us a call and let us know what you think. Real tree or fake tree?
And we'll give you an early Christmas present, if you will, for helping Kath out. We'll help you out. We got passes to a preview screening of One True Loves. It's happening at Event Cinemas in Katara. It comes out on December 7th, but you get to see it December 6th, the day before anyone else.
I'm yet to see a plastic tree that's fooled me. They're all just so fake, and fake's no good. That's what I'm saying. Get the real one. Do it right.
Let's go to Fletcher. Michelle, what do you reckon?
I have the perfect solution, Novos.
Okay.
This year, you have the fresh tree.
Yeah.
The smell is divine. You don't need to buy any air freshener for a few weeks. And then next year, you have the fake tree.
Ah.
So what I do is when visitors come to my house every second
year, yeah,
we have fresh tree.
Yeah.
And then the year, the alternate year we go and visit other people, we have the fake tree.
Ah.
So you pull out the fake tree when guests are knocking about. Yeah. With all your fine cutlery and stuff as well, hey? Open up the china drawer.
That's it. That's how you show off, isn't it?
That's exactly right. We always have the silverware polish ready to go the year that we have it at our place.
Yeah.
And then when we go visiting, we just take the paper plates.
Yeah,
that's it. I like it.
That is the perfect way to do it.
A lot of people do that as well. Like, they have the home Christmas and the away Christmas to, you know, keep all the families happy.
Yeah, that's when you show off with the real tree, because it's better. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Michelle on my team here. I like it.
That's a stretch. We're going to see our next Jasmine. What are your thoughts? Real or fake tree?
Fake tree all the way.
Come on. It's just easier, isn't it? More convenient.
Yeah, and I also find it funny. You can tell how old a tree is by how much tape is on the box.
And in fact, it's a lot like when you have a real tree, when you count all the rings, except with the fake tree, you're counting the tape lines around there.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Jasmine.
Novos. What's the goss? UFM.
Scotty, these band fans are going to be upset, you reckon?
Yes, big news breaking this morning. Well, actually, sorry, let's backtrack.
Okay.
May this year, Mark McGowan, Stephen, your mate from Western Australia,
okay,
threw out big news that Coldplay are coming down under, but only to Western Australia.
Yeah, I assume they paid big dollars to make that exclusive.
Yes, it's for the state that hasn't got the iPhone 14 yet. It's like really hard to imagine why Coldplay went there unless there were some big dollars involved. Anyway, time has come. Coldplay have been there the last two nights, and by all accounts, look, fantastic. They've done such a good job. Looked phenomenal. My TikTok is blowing up with footage of the concert. They did the last two nights in a row. Now, this morning, Live Nation have announced that Coldplay are coming back down under next year in Sydney and Melbourne. So now they've announced it. Talking this morning, I heard that the concert goers, 60,000 people filled up the stadium in Perth, 40,000 of which are locals,
mm-hmm,
20,000 interstate. This is 20,000 both nights. So massive boom for tourists. So people from Sydney are buying tickets right across the land of WA thinking, I'm going to miss out on Coldplay. They go, they spend their money, and now Coldplay announce, ha, we're coming next year. I'd be annoyed.
So would I.
I would be fuming.
And that's not a cheap flight either.
No, not cheap. Plus, flights, accommodation, the concert itself, given that it's only a two-night exclusive. Look, so many factors here. It would have cost a bomb to go, and you could have gone to see them in your own backyard when they come to Sydney next year.
I'm telling you this for free as well, Scott. People in Perth are just as annoyed. I know
really?
For a fact. People blowing up because there's this mindset in Perth, similar to Newcastle, where they're like, oh, they always get skipped. They feel like they always get skipped. Big artists never come to McDonald Jones, you know? Mm-hmm. They always miss us. So people in Perth, I know a lot of my mates, because, you know, that's where I grew up, are like, finally, we get something that over East you don't get.
Yeah.
And now it's just announced that it's coming to Sydney and Melbourne next year.
Oh, look, it's got to be...
I think it's good news for everyone, though. The more shows they do, and the more people who are, you know, are allowed to go see Coldplay live, I think that's a win for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the real winner here is the punter that wants to go and watch great live music.
But, exactly.
Like, let's be real. The actual real winner is Coldplay. How much money are they going to be making? An absolute fortune. So I reckon the people that went to Perth this year from the East Coast will still go again when they come next year.
Conspiracy theory here, right? They always knew these shows were going to happen. Part of the deal was, we'll pretend it's exclusive.
Oh.
Once those are done, then we'll announce the next shows.
I reckon, think it's more the case that the bands come out here and they go, holy crap, we can make money in Australia. And then come back again. Sorry, Scott, I cut you off there.
No, I reckon that is a very, very strong conspiracy theory. But hey, we're throwing allegations around here.
Absolutely. None of that's proven. But
None of that. Hey, speaking of John Cleese this morning. Now, John Cleese was in the Hunter not too long ago doing a show at the Civic Centre. He had a run-in with the team on The Project, the TV show on Channel 10.
That's right.
And now a headline about John Cleese. I'll read it to you straight. Monty Python and Fawlty Towers star John Cleese says he killed a man. And I went, what? what? This guy, surely not. Now, turns out, back in the 80s, he was in the movie Wanda, A Fish Called Wanda.
Yep.
Yep. Apparently, a bloke from a small town, this is overseas, went and watched it, laughed so hard for about 2 minutes, and then had a heart attack and died. And this is coming out now. This is 45 years ago.
Fake news.
You reckon?
Fake news.
Yeah, because...
Hungry for air.
Yeah, I think it's fake news because they do a skit about writing the joke that's so funny. If anyone reads it, they'll die. Well, I reckon that's what it is.
Yeah.
It could be it. It could be. Look, I'm not going to deep dive into the archives to see whether some guy actually passed away, but... That's the headline, and it grabbed my attention.
It's worked. He must be doing another show or something. He needs some money. That's the only thing I can think of. Last week on the show, we spoke to a local illustrator, Elizabeth Mysek, who is, in fact, just won an award.
Yeah,
which is fantastic. And I made the throwaway comment of how hard can it be to write a children's book? Seems like a doddle. Now, I've decided to go ahead with my promise to write one, so I've written it. I've put my mind together, thought of all my best thoughts, and come up with one.
I'm so excited.
So its title is Greg the Frog's Gymnasium.
Sounds good so far.
So far, so good. Okay. All right, here we go. So I'll fire up the sort of, I guess, appropriate music, and I'm just going to read you the book. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, lovely.
Good little vibe, right? Once there was a frog called Greg who owned a gymnasium. He liked to help the other animals get fit and healthy. One day, Alan the kookaburra was working out so his wings could be big and strong. Don't skip leg day, said the garden skink gang, who were hanging out by the barbells. Because kookaburras, they always got the skinny legs.
Of
right?
course.
One sunny day, Daryl the dingo dropped into the gymnasium and said to Greg the frog, "You need to move out. I'm selling the building."
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Greg the Frog was very worried. Uh-oh, he said. What can I do? I don't want to lose my gymnasium. All the animals decided to get together and help out. Why don't we have a fundraising breakfast, said Chris the Sulphur-Crested Cockatoo. We could have banana pancakes, suggested Brian the Echidna. On Saturday, they had a big banana pancake breakfast with lots of maple syrup and ice cream. Everyone from the town turned up and put money in the donation tin. Clink! They raised so much money that Greg the Frog was able to buy the building. Free gym membership for everyone, said Greg the Frog. The end. What are your thoughts?
It's actually not that bad. There's entertainment value.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely... What? Yeah, no.
No from Kath? It's a no from Kath.
The story is kind of too complex for the character mix. I think you need to work on it a little
bit. All right, a little bit more development.
I think you need to go to the Hunter Writers Centre and get some advice.
Okay, all right. That's a good...
Not a bad first draft. I think you need more... I think the conflict and resolution is just skimmed over, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the no money, we make some pancakes.
There's way too many characters in there. Like, there's so many characters.
Yeah, but there'll be pictures, though.
So it'll be easier to understand once you see pictures with it.
Yeah. Right, we'll storyboard it out, obviously, you know, and there'll be, you know, like the Sulphur-Crested Cockatoo with his big yellow little tips on the top and all that sort of stuff. Mm. It's a work in progress, I'll give you that.
I'm just glad Greg got his gymnasium back.
Yeah.
That's made me feel good this morning.
And that's the main thing. It's a feel good Monday here at New FM.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos.
105.3 New FM.
I don't know about you, Stephen. We're just going to exclude Crevier because he doesn't talk to sports at all. But I am still shocked that Australia won the World Cup.
I think the world alike is shocked. I don't think you're the only one. I gave us no chance. We're talking, of course, about the Cricket World Cup, the ODI format.
Yeah, so the boys took it out by 6 wickets even. Like, it wasn't even a close one. That was quite decisive. That catch from Travis Head was amazing. One of the greatest of all time. Going to go in those classic catch competitions forever, I reckon. And you know, Virat Kohli got man of the season, of the tournament
yeah.
which I think is probably appropriate.
And how's the crowd as well? 92,000, I think it was. Absolutely massive.
Yeah, that was a bit short. It should have been 100,000.
The thing that shocked me the most about this is Grebo's brought some relative information to some sports chat.
Yeah, he Googled that.
No, no.
Did I or was I watching?
I'm sure you were up watching.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, Travis had, poof.
Anyway, exciting. So good they took it out. And yeah, we're stoked. On Wednesday, No Limits Boxing putting on again another massive, massive show. They always do. They never fail to entertain. Nikita Zou's fighting once again. Another local on the card, though, is Amber Amelia,
yes,
who joins us in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in to start with.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, you fight out of Lake Mac. Yep. You excited to perform at the Entertainment Centre in front of a home crowd, a big card like that?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome in front of a home crowd. I love Newcastle shows. No Limits always does such a good job.
Have you got, like, an extra couple of tickets that have been slung your way to give to, like, family and friends and stuff like that?
No, everyone's got to buy their tickets, but it's good.
Oh, you've been ripped off. That doesn't feel fair, does it?
No, well, I've got a question for you as well, because obviously, like, boxing's got reputation as quite a violent sport, and sometimes people do get hurt.
Yeah.
Does your family like watching you fight? Or do
they get a bit nervous?
Yeah.
Or what's the vibe?
My mum actually threw up before my first professional fight. She was that nervous. No, they're all happy with it now, so it's good.
You should be the nervous one, I would have thought, but it's your mum that's actually in that situation.
Yeah, mum gets more nervous than me. I get more excited, so.
It's interesting as well because, like, in studio talking to us now, Abby, you seem so lovely, but it is like a cutthroat sport. There's no room for, like, empathy or for, like, mercy. How do you go, like, flicking a switch when you get into the ring?
I don't know. It just happens.
Something takes over?
Yeah, something does take over, definitely. It's just like walking into a new world when you get in the ring.
Something I see and often wonder about is like a bit of the trash talk often that happens beforehand. Do you practice that yourself, like in the mirror? Or
are
like,
you a trash talker?
I'm not a trash talker at all. I like to respect my opponents. So.
Oh, that's a good vibe.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I do see the trash talk and it does get people, not me.
Not for you. Well, you said you respect your opponent. Your opponent on Wednesday, massive reach, like advantage, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Like a lot taller than you, longer limbs. Have you got like a special tactic you're going to try and use to counter that reach disadvantage?
We've been working on things.
Don't want to reveal
have you, like,
at all.
Sparring against people with, like, you know, much bigger reach.
Unfortunately, because I got cut in my last fight and it wasn't that long ago, I haven't had any sparring at all.
Wow.
So it's very different going into this fight compared to the other ones.
Yeah, right.
The prep's been very different, but I'm just going to have to do my best.
That's it. Yeah. And I assume once you get in, like you said, they flick that switch, you know, like riding a bike, you'll be fine.
Yep.
No prep, though, no issues like having to cut weight or anything.
No, weight's been really good walking around on weight this time, so it's awesome.
Do you feel better, like, walking around on weight?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I do want to move down another weight category after this fight. I sort of brought it down early, and so.
What's going to be involved in that, like, in terms of getting down to that sort of next category down?
The right diet and right training, really.
Yep.
Yeah, nothing too hard. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident I can do it.
Excellent stuff.
All right. Well, before we look at that, you know, that lower weight class, you do have this fight on Wednesday.
Yep.
You got to tell us, what's your prediction for the fight?
Pretty confident I can win this fight if I do everything right. It is going to be tricky. She is a tough opponent. So, just have to do everything right and listen to my corner.
You are so humble. There's no, like, first round knockout or anything.
No.
Business. No trash talk. Get in, get it done. And fingers crossed on Wednesday, you can get it done. Best luck, Amber. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I loved it. Thank you.
And we're almost done for the day.
Ooh, thank God.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be rain somewhere, given the wide reports from the bomb that there's going to be rain all up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, but, like, on Newcastle, I'm reading some that are saying 50%. Some say 60%. Some say 40%.
Yeah, I don't know where you get your weather from,
man. All over. I've got multiple sources open on multiple tabs.
More reliable guesses is that tomorrow we will have another family pass to give away to Not So Silent Night.
Come on!
Joel will also have one to give away this afternoon if you're hanging around for your only
100%
live and local way to drive home here at UFM.
Well, it's exciting, isn't it? Exciting this is back. Such an incredible event.
And money can't buy. You can't just buy these tickets. You can only win them by being local and listening to New FM.
Exactly.
That's the two requirements right there.
All right, what's everyone up to this afternoon? What do you got going on, Kath?
I should be going to the gym, but I think I might be going to Fortnite.
That sounds like the better of the two plans.
I'll be out doing deliveries.
You working?
I'll be working. reckon they were going to have cheeky lunch as well with the wife. That'll be good.
I'll be working as well. Not for money, though. Making a lasagna from scratch this afternoon.
Ooh, that's exotic. So you'll be out there collecting the mints.
Step on YouTube.
What do we reckon? 4 hours? Over under?
Six.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's actually not that difficult to put together. It just takes a long time to cook.
You stir in the bechamel around the pot. It goes for ages and ages. Is that the right consistency? Yeah, it almost looks like it. Absolutely lovely.
Hopefully it's not a disaster.
Pics or it didn't happen tomorrow. I suppose. Yeah. I want to see the pics. That is us done for today. We'll catch you tomorrow.
We'll see you then. Have a good
one.
I've been listening to your show on the radio.
You've been listening to The Novos. Would you like some more?
Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or newfm.com.au to get more now.